Take your Bibles, please, the book of Romans, chapter number 10. The book of Romans, chapter number 10. Acts, Romans, chapter number 10. I'm interested in what the Scripture says in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's bow our heads together if we can. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, once again, we pray you'd give us clarity of thought, wisdom, Lord, of speech, and Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. And Lord, may truly our hearts be set afire for the word of God and for sharing it with our fellow man, both home and abroad. We plead the blood in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I started to preach on the Romans Road tonight. You've heard people say that, the Romans Road. There's a saying that said all roads lead to Rome, and back in the days of the Roman Empire, they did. Rome was the center of everything, and they built roads. It's one of the things the Roman Empire figured out, that if they could build a navigable road 12 months a year, because in the wintertime, the roads would mar down, and you couldn't travel on them. You could walk, but you couldn't travel on anything else because the mud's too deep. So they began to quarry stones, and they began to be the first to pave highways. And so they paved roads. It was like a spokes on a wagon wheel. They literally, roads went out everywhere from the city of Rome. And they'd go in and conquer a town, and then they would come right in behind that with an engineering crew, and they would build a road. Because they realized that if you go into a place, you've got 40,000 people living in this valley, and you conquer it, and you take it for the Roman Empire, and you've got 5,000 men in that group that conquered it, and you're going to quarter them there. Well, think about it. They grew enough food for 40,000 people. And so if 5,000 extra people show up and you have to feed those, those people are going to be hungry. Somebody's going to do without. And so they figured out you couldn't do that. You couldn't put the pressure if you're going to occupy the people and keep them happy. Now, back in those days, they weren't too concerned about what color flag was flying over their head. But they were concerned about their children going hungry, just like we are today. They were concerned about those things. If you could keep a population fed and reasonably happy, then they weren't that hard to control. And they figured out the only way to do that would be to bring in resources from all over the Roman world. And so they literally had roads that they traveled from all over, and they brought resources into those fronts, the areas that they were conquering. And so that's a whole message in itself about the logistics of the gospel and how, and we'll go there. But tonight, before we get to that verse, and that the primary verse concerning that is in the book of Romans, chapter number 10. It's the next verse. How shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. There's a whole lot to this thing about being sent. There's a lot to it. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? It's more than signing a Bible and laying your hands on somebody and praying over and say, bye, get out of here. There's a whole lot more to being sent than ordaining someone. There's a whole lot more to being sent than printing prayer cards. There's a whole lot more to being sent and to meeting the needs of that family that's going out than first meets the eye. But I want to back up again and lay some better foundation. Look with me what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 3. And if you've got a pen or a pencil, if you don't have it marked in your Bible, this would be a good opportunity. And if you don't want to mark right now, write it in a flyleaf of your Bible, or get you a back of a tithe envelope and write on it. If you don't have it memorized, the Romans Road, we call it. And it's a series of verses. Now, the chapters that they're contained in deal very intently with the subjects. But there are typically verses that we pick out that kind of highlight that truth. And in chapter number 3, verse 23 embodies the idea of what's being said. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what all means in Greek? It means all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there are many other verses that we could use. There's a lot of other things that we could go to, but I'll give you just my version. Flip over one page in the book of Romans, chapter number 5. The scripture tells us in verse number 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now that's a little more of an exposition on what we've just read in Romans 3:23. So Romans 5:12, once again, how do we get there? How's everybody sinners? We inherited it. Verse 12, chapter 5. And then look in chapter 6, verse 23. So we know now that we're sinners. We know how we got there. We got it by birth. So it's not just a bad habit we picked up. We got it by birth. Now let's see what the consequences of that are. Look in verse 23 of chapter number 6. "For the wages of sin is death." Death. Now death is a terrible process. Someone died in their sleep the other day. That's everybody's wish, that we just die in our sleep. But death's a process. Aging is a process. Death is a process. But can you imagine ever dying? Can you imagine dying for all of eternity? And that's the idea of what hell is. It's ever dying. And we use the phrase never dying in being saved. Well, can I say for the lost, it's ever dying. Always a corruptible body, always in that and that horror and the grips of the horror of death. And there is no, it's not a shadow, it's real. And it does sting. Scripture says for the child of God, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" Well, can I tell you, for a lost man, it stings. And stings and stings and stings for eternity. And of course, there is no hope, there is no purgatory, there is no second chance. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death," an eternal death. But look what it says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And there are other verses that we could go to. There's in every chapter, there's verses that we could use, obviously. But look with me in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. The scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse 11, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, a lot of times we think that means that if you're saved, you won't be embarrassed, or you won't be ashamed of telling somebody you're saved, or stand up in front of a congregation, you won't be embarrassed. And we make that kind of as a gauge. Well, that's not exactly how that's the idea behind it is that you're not going to come up short. In other words, he that believeth on you won't stand at the judgment and say, "Oops, I've made a mistake. You don't ever have to worry about that. Okay? That's the idea behind it. That you don't ever have to be ashamed. You won't be ashamed of the commitment that you've made. You'll never, out of all the years that I've been saved, I've never had one person come up to me and say, "I want my money back. I got saved and I hate it. And it wasn't near what I thought it was going to be, and it's just, and God's let me down every way I turn, and no, sir, I don't want no more to do with it, and I want my money back. I don't want to be saved no more. Unsave me." I've had some people deny him. People said it wasn't real, that a profession they made, they said that later, that there was no God, and that was their own, they said that. But I've never had anybody say it was a mistake to trust Christ as Savior. The scripture says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And then verse number 13, I call it the gospel in a nutshell. I want you to look what the scripture says, and let's take some time and let's do a little bit of word upon word, okay? Let's take it and look at some things here. The scripture says, for whosoever. There was a movement a few years ago that had they had printed t-shirts that I'm a whosoever. Well, can I tell you, everybody could have wore that t-shirt. Because the gospel's to whosoever. It don't mean everybody will, but thank God everybody that wants to can. Amen? Whosoever. And so it's the scope. Who can call, preacher? Who can enjoy this great salvation that you keep talking about? Well, anybody. Anybody. For whosoever. And that's a very open-ended statement. And all for which whosoever that call. That's the next phrase. So anyone, the scope of the gospel. I've seen people saved. I've seen people saved. I led a woman to the Lord and she died 2 days later. Elderly woman, and she died 2 days later. Well, actually, no, I think she died the next day. I don't think she lived the full 24 hours. And I wasn't sure. I'm not big on deathbed salvation. While I believe it's possible, I don't think it's very probable. I caution people, don't wait till your deathbed to try to get right with God. You may not be in your right mind. You might not. God might not be dealing with you. That's not, I mean, so don't wait. Don't put it off. There's a lot of people hoping for that, but I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't wait till you see a crack in the dam to go buy flood insurance, okay? It's coming, I promise you. For whosoever, and I, two months ago, little 14-year-old girl, and prayed with her, and by her own testimony, she trusted Christ. She lived a week, left here, 14 years old. So one thing I do know, death knows no bounds, it knows no age limits. If you go to the cemetery, you'll find little graves, you'll find big graves, you'll find graves that people who lived 100 years, and you'll find graves of people who died the same day they were born. The date of birth and date of death is exactly the same on the tombstone. But the scripture says, for whosoever, that's the scope of the gospel. I'm glad that God didn't say everybody, but he said whosoever. And then there is not only the scope of the gospel, but there is the simplicity of the gospel. The scripture says, whosoever shall call. Let me deal with the word shall for just a moment. Somebody said, well, in the new versions it said, whosoever will call. Well, can I say there's a vast difference between shall and will? The word will does not have the emphasis with it. The word will is not emphatic. But when God says something shall be, you can rest assured it shall be. There ain't never been a shall that God ain't fulfilled. It's sure as God said shall, it will happen. And so there's that emphatic in this thing. There's this emphasis, this emphatic idea behind shall, much stronger than will, or much stronger than can. Shall. But then it says shall call. I'm sorry to say that, you know, we sometimes parrot things. We pick up things from the way it happened in our lives. There's been a big deal going on about the words that you utter at the moment of salvation. And there's been a big push about that. And did you do this? And did you do this? And did you do this and this and this? Did you? Did you do this and this and that? Big deal. And here's the thing. I know all that, but to pray the prayer that they insist that you got to pray to get saved, it ain't simple at all. And if I teach Bible college and can't remember all the things they say to do, that you got to say and do to get in, then how do you reckon sinners are going to know how to do it? And I've been teaching Bible college for a long time, and I don't know how to. I can't even remember all the things they say you got to do. And then there's another part of that. They're all about these words. Well, what if people can't talk? I was in the Caribbean 2 years ago, and we had a bunch of deaf people there. And deafness, I don't know why the Caribbean's plagued with deafness. A lot of deafness in the Caribbean. And there was a whole row of deaf people, and they were signing every service. Everything was going on, they signed. I preached, and then people went to getting saved. And they got to asking for more people to come down that knew sign to lead them to the Lord and talk, pray with them. And he didn't take them out back because it's dark. And they couldn't see their hands. So they had to pray with them right there in the tent and under everybody. We had five people that could not hear get saved that night. And they had them to get up and give testimonies. And there's one fella, they told him through the interpreter, Brother Daniels said, give your testimony. And so the sign language, the lady told him to give it. And he kept doing the same sign, and it was repetitious. Something, they told me how to do it, and Lydia's here, she'd know exactly how to do it. Yeah, and so, but what he was saying was, I got saved, I got saved, I got saved, I got saved. And he wouldn't stop. He was shouting, I got saved, I got saved, I got saved, with his hands. And they couldn't give him to give his testimony because he's too busy shouting, and he wouldn't listen to what she is saying because he's too busy shouting that he had gotten saved. And some people are so narrow-minded, they would say, well, he didn't get saved. He didn't confess with his mouth. He ain't got no mouth, folks, that will speak. He can groan a little bit. That's all he got. But son, he tore up about God saving him. And his hands was running 90 miles a minute. I didn't have to hear nothing, son. I'm telling you, I knew God saved him. If you'd have saw him when he come in, when you'd have saw him when he went out, son, that boy got in. I'm talking about he got in. He got so far in. Hallelujah. He had the joy of the Lord instantly in his life. And I'm talking about he was thrilled. Thrilled me. I like to come undone. I'll just be honest with you. I'd never had that before in my life. But it amazed me. I mean, it amazed me. And God worked on my heart after that about some of this stuff about the words, getting the words right. I don't know anything. I don't know what she told him as a woman led him to the Lord. I don't know what she said to him. I don't know what verses she used. I don't know what he said in return. All I know is you couldn't get him to hush. I got saved, I got saved, I got saved. And they finally said, we know you got saved, but tell us more. Did you pray? I got saved, I got saved, I got saved. That's all he wanted to say. Thrill me. And a few months ago, I was called to the home of a little 14-year-old who was dying. She had cerebral palsy. She couldn't roll over. Her arms were drawn back. And she was terminal. They had given her up. Hospice had taken over her care. They were worried about her soul. And so they called me to go to the home. And so I did on a Thursday evening. And I went in and we had the small talk with mom and with the little girl. And we talked. And then we got to start talking about spiritual things. And so we brought it right down to the wire. I just took it right down to the Romans Road, right down to the gospel. And I asked that little girl, do you want to be saved? I said, I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. And mom said, she can't bow her head and her eyes don't close. She sleeps with her eyes open. I said, does she have a sign? She said, yes. She said, honey, say yes. And she looked up. She said, say no. And she looked down. And then, if she was disinterested, she'd look away. So if she was disinterested with something, she'd look away. And then something her mother said that she didn't like, she stared at her, she glared at her mother. And her mother knew that was her way of saying, I don't like what you're saying, or I don't agree with what you're saying. So I had to get a lesson in reading her eyes. She couldn't bow her head. She couldn't close her eyes. And so I prayed with her. And her little face was drawn. But when she prayed, I said, now, if you prayed and trusted Christ, her eyes went up. And there was a sparkle in her eyes and a little bit of a grin in her cheek. And I said, do you know you're saved? And she, back up her eyes went. You know you're going to heaven? Up her eyes went. I said, now, do you understand everything we've talked about? Her eyes went up. I said, have I confused you? Eyes went down. I said, now, I haven't forced you into anything, have I? Her eyes went down. Said, so you're telling me that right now, you haven't uttered a word, but you're telling me that if right now you die, that you're going to spend eternity with Christ because of Christ's finished work on Calvary that you've just trusted in. Her eyes went up. It's enough for me. She ain't said a word. Ain't uttered a word. Couldn't run, couldn't have a fit, couldn't have a running spell. Can't even grunt. Look up, look down. Can I say that the word call, we think about it as the idea of an audible thing. But the fact of the matter is the word call ties back to the word shall. It is an emphatic appeal. That's the idea behind call. It is an emphatic appeal. Now listen to me. A deaf mute can make an emphatic appeal. A blind person can make an emphatic appeal. Yeah. An emphatic appeal. That's what call, that's the idea, that's what it means. An appeal. When you appeal God, when you appeal to the throne room of God, that whosoever shall call. A little child can make an emphatic appeal. They do it all the time. They're good at it. When Simon Peter was sinking as he walked on water to Christ, he suddenly looked at the waves and the winds boisterous around him, and he lost his faith. And he said, Dear Lord Goddeth, thouest knoweth mineth needeth, mineth feeteth are getting wetteth, and it is noweth up a two of mine thighs. And Lordeth, if you don't soon sell me, blah, 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 blah. He'd been sunk, friend. I'm telling you, he wasn't ever got that prayer. He never got that prayer out. He never got it out. What'd he say? Lord, save me! He made an emphatic appeal, and immediately the Lord was right there, touched his hand. And the thing about it is, he walked back to the boat. He had to walk back to the boat. He walked out by on his own, but he walked back with Christ. Hand in hand. No philosophical arguments, no debates, no logistical nuances. It's real simple. Just a desperate, meaningful call. Ralph Sexton Sr., the old Irish evangelist, McBurney, was on the square in, don't remember the year, but it would have been before the Depression or right in that era. And he was on the square in Asheville, had a tent. And he was preaching on the return of the Jew. Now, this was way before the Jews ever started going back in 48. This was way back of that. Matter of fact, it would have been before World War II. So it would have been probably in the Depression or even in the late 20s. I don't know the exact day. But he was up teaching, had a big chalkboard, and he was preaching and teaching about the return of the Jews. So he was preaching prophecy on the square in Asheville. Well, at that time, Ralph was working for a Jew that run a cleaners. And when he heard him talking about the Jews, he heard him, and so he was there in town, so he went in and sat down in the back row. And so at the end of the meeting, they gave an invitation. Well, I don't reckon he went for that. But afterwards, when the crowd broke up, he thought he'd go ask a question. And so he went up to the front, and McBurney said, Son, have you yet been converted? said, no, sir. And he said, why? He said, well, I don't know how. And he had a big old piece of chalk in his hand, and he handed it to him. He said, now, where'd you get that chalk? He said, I just received it from you. He said, so it is with salvation. Get down there and pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And walked off. I said, what did you do? He said, I hit my knees and prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said, I come up with a different man. Completely different. And if you question Ralph's salvation, son, you got problems. That man preached like a wild man his whole life. I mean, he come up from our running, man. He was something. He changed Western North Carolina. That's what McBurney told him. Said, pray God be merciful to me, a sinner. And walked away. That old Irish, the way they did it. They didn't waller and altars with you. They just take it or leave it. Here it is. And he prayed and God saved him that night with the example of a piece of chalk that he put in his hand. Hear me when I tell you. I'm talking about the simplicity. There's the scope of the gospel for whosoever. There's the simplicity of the gospel, shall call. There's the Savior of the gospel, whosoever shall call, look at this, upon the name of the Lord. So we talked about that appeal. We talked about that emphatic appeal. But my friend, making an emphatic appeal to Buddha won't do it. Making an emphatic appeal to your lucky star won't change you. Making an emphatic appeal to Muhammad, it won't do a thing for you. But if you make an emphatic appeal upon the name of the Lord, I rarely do this, but the word Lord in the Greek, and I use it all the time in Hebrew, Adonai is the term for Lord in the Old Testament, in capital L, little O-R-D, and it means the master, Adonai. There are three or four different words that are used for Lord in the Old Testament. One is Jehovah when it's all capitalized, but the most common is Adonai. The word kuros is the New Testament term, and it is all-encompassing of everything that Adonai means. It's the same idea. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So we have the Savior of the gospel. Well, what's the point? Well, the point is, look back in verse number 9, that it shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Who is Lord? He's the Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, if you believe God raised him from the dead, you had to believe he had to die first. And then he died for your sins, according to the scriptures. And so my point is that there is the Savior of the gospel, shall call upon the name of the Lord. And then we come right up against another word, shall. It's the same word we had before. Once again, it's an emphasis. It is emphatic. Doesn't mean might. It doesn't mean could. It doesn't mean maybe so, hope so, think so. That is not what it means. It doesn't mean that in English. It didn't mean that in Greek. It is an emphatic word. Shall certainly. Shall certainly. That's the idea. Emphasis, emphatic, shall. And then look at if not only the surety of the gospel, but look at the substance of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be saved. I've had people say, preacher, saved from what? Romans 6:23, from the wages of sin. Romans 6:14, the scripture says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Levi, come get my phone, please.
Hello.
I'm sorry.
Hey, this is
Mr. Take that to Levi, having to call THR, emergency room. For sin shall not have dominion over you. There, it's in my favorites, I believe. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And so, not only from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. Do you realize God didn't save us and then leave us wallowing around helpless? There's more. Hey, God's bigger than that. The day he saved you from the penalty of sin, he also saved you from the power of sin. So I just couldn't help it. You might have said that before you got saved, but you got a helper inside of you now, and you can't help it. Yes, you can. Sin shall not have any more dominion over you. Cut those ties. Cut that dominion. No more dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And so saves us from the penalty of sin. Chapter 6, verse 23. Saves us from the power of sin. Chapter 6, verse 14. But some of these days, happy day, it's going to save us from the presence of sin. Paul told the Corinthian church, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I got tickled one time. I was down at Mount Sinai, and they had 1 Corinthians 15:51 printed on the door of the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I thought that's the funniest thing I'd ever say. Guarantee you, everybody in that nursery is going to be changed. They might not all sleep, but they all going to be changed. I thought that was pretty good. Can I tell you that not everybody, maybe, and I don't know this for sure, but there's a possibility there's people here that will not go by the way of the undertaker. You may go by the way of the upper taker. That's right. Go out of here on the group plan. As it stands now, we're going out one by one. Thought about this today. I wonder who's next. I thought about this today, who's the next casket we'll roll down the aisle. Maybe mine. Maybe yours. But statistically speaking, death will affect our church in the coming year. One way or the other. It will. But thank God there's coming a day. How'd you like to be an undertaker? It's lost. And you've got somebody laid out on the table and you're just getting ready to embalm them. And in a moment, a twinkling eye, that body leaves. Now all that's left is the filling in her teeth. Maybe an artificial knee, maybe some cataract implants laying there on the table. Ain't nothing left. Everything else is gone. I'm talking about raptured in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. You say, preacher, that's quite an imagination. Oh, no. It's been the hope of the church for two centuries, for two millennia, for 20 centuries. It's been the hope of the church that the Lord was going to come and redeem us out of here one day. I don't know the day nor the hour, but I believe it. Amen. I believe it. And friend, if that bothers you, if that scares you, if that troubles you, the coming of the Lord troubles you, then you need to make sure you got everything right, everything fixed up. Don't pillow your head tonight if that's a scary thing to you. You see, the gospel, we try to make it so hard, but the gospel's not hard. See, the scope of the gospel says for whosoever. The simplicity of the gospel says shall call. The savior of the gospel upon the name of the Lord. The surety of the gospel shall. And the substance of the gospel be saved. Somebody said, well, how many of those people got saved in that meeting? I said, everybody that called upon him. Everybody that called upon him. Not careful, we'll get in such a shape. We'll get in such a shape, worried about counterfeits, worried about all these other things. We'll lose our zeal. We'll lose our excitement to see people get saved if we're not careful. And I tell you, I've had people worried to death. Well, I'm afraid I wouldn't say the right thing, or I wouldn't say the right words, or I'm afraid that I might miss a verse, or I might misquote a verse to them, or I might not get it right. And what if that happened? And what if they went to hell because of me? Wait a minute. They didn't come because of you. What I'm talking about is, I'm talking about an appeal, a sincere appeal in the deep of the heart of man. Tired of your sin, you want to be saved. You see, the words vary from English to Spanish. And they vary from Spanish to Hungarian. And they'll vary how we pray with someone, even how that read, how the verse reads will vary between here in Ghana, West Africa, between here in the Philippines, between here in Bolivia. The words are going to be different. It's not about us. We don't make them, quote, English words when people get born again. We don't make them form English words with a mouth and them no idea what they mean. That ain't it. But on the other hand, let's take it to the other side. You can't go into the meat market, go into the supermarket, and all they have to do is produce man. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. All right, well, you're saved. Well, do you believe meat man? Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You're saved too. Okay, and go to the and win seven people, and you've been in a store 3 minutes. I would call that easy believism, and I don't give that any credence whatsoever. That's a numbers game. And people have got the idea, all you got to do is say it. If saying Jesus saves me, if that was all it took, I'd be down in people in the parking lots at Walmart putting an arm up behind their back and say it. Jesus saved me. All right, you're good. Okay, get up, go. You're good to go. Just like I've said, if baptizing people, if that'd get them saved, I'd get me a water hose. I'd hide out here on the bank. And every convertible and everybody had the window down and every motorcycle that come through that 64, son, I'd baptize them in the name of the Lord. I would. I'd lay it on them. If I thought that'd get them saved, might probably get a man a whooping if you wet a man. But I'd get a water hose. I'd buy it, invest in a fire truck. We could do an arch stream and land out in the middle of the road. If that's all it took to get somebody to God, you know better than that. The same thing is true of this thing of calling. It's a heart appeal, not a head appeal. It's not words. No. It's an attitude and a change of attitude. And the fact that the confession is made unto salvation, it's not a condition of salvation, but it's a testimony that salvation took place. And not everybody's willing to confess it right then, right on the spot. But it doesn't mean they didn't get saved. And what if you have somebody that gets saved that there's no way to get that from them? You can't get that out of them because you don't know sign language or you don't know whatever. And you can't get that out of them. And you don't know what they're saying. They can't confess it. Understand what I'm saying? What about the little girl that all she gets yes, no, and look away? That's all she had. Three words. And if she disagreed with something, she'd stare at you. That's the four forms of communication that she had. And everything had to be answered in those four realms. She couldn't form those words. But if that little girl did what she said she did and what she indicated with her eyes, she's with the Lord right now. Rest assured. The gospel in a nutshell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.